all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
And welcome back on this Thursday morning, February 15th. Nice to have you along on this day after Valentine's Day. Hope everybody had a nice day and evening and has been driving carefully along much of Wisconsin, which is a little snowy today. The National Weather Service website is not being extremely cooperative this hour, so I can tell you a few of the snow totals in a little bit here as Brittany Merlot joins us. Dr. Lyerly may be back with us at some point, but I'm looking at the camera right now and just seeing an empty room, so I'm kind of afraid to bring it up on air because you might hear her yelling "push," and you know that might not be the best way to kick off another hour of broadcasting.
Life.
There you go. Yeah, and she holds the baby up, and the Disney music comes in. No, it doesn't work that way. Brittany Merlot is here now on a snowy morning. It appears that if you drew a line based on the snowfall totals I'm seeing from Eau Claire to Rhinelander to, say, Marinette, kind of it seemed like most places below there in the 1 to 3 range, 6 to 8 in the Twin Cities, and then kind of that 3 to 6, you know, north of that line, kind of what I'm seeing. What's it look like from the reports you're getting in, Brittany? Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm seeing about the same thing as well. I mean, here in Wausau, I only got around 2 inches of snowfall. But in Amory, up into the northwest, 7.5 inches piled up over there. Mm-hmm. And even Rhinelander picking up nearly 5.5 inches. Phillips is also coming in at 5 inches, and Eau Claire, like you mentioned, about 3.5. So the snow is still ongoing right now into the Fox Valley, in the towns by Lake Michigan, even until Milwaukee area. We are looking at the temperatures, though, really, really warm along the state line above freezing. So they're just seeing some mist at the moment, and even some clearing taking place into portions of western Wisconsin as we speak. But now we've got the cleanup, some shoveling to do. It's a packable snowfall. It's kind of heavy as well. So we'll get to a few above freezing temperatures, especially further south in the state, by this afternoon into the mid-30s. But for the rest of us, we're going to be staying into those mid-20s for a majority of northern Wisconsin. So staying below freezing today. It's not going to be really melting any of the snow away until next week. Next week, we're going to hit some 40s. By Monday. But I flip mix this weather. It finally looks like February.
DJ Flip Mix is back. The Flip Mix line was, we know Kenosha got the rain, so the Flip Mix line was somewhere north of Kenosha.
Yes.
Love it. And for those of us, again, with you know, asphalt on the driveway, and it's a south-facing thing, and it's like, well, there's you know, 2 to 3 inches there. Do I really want to shovel that, or do I just let nature do its thing, you know?
There's nature.
There's a line, yes. And as Rob reminds us, it's a very wet snow. It's hard to move. And I, as somebody who threw his back out last March on the last shovelable snow of the year, no. I'm not going to touch it if I don't have to. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton, partly cloudy, 29. He says 29 and 45 in western Shawnee County, wet with scattered slushy spots. The town roads are snow covered and slippery with about an inch of snow. And Roger tells us that on this first pre-7 a.m. sunrise of the year in Stevens Point, they've got about an inch and a half of snow as well. It is so great to see it so light out at this hour. It just does my heart good, Brittany.
I feel like Rob from Tigerton, when you read his, it should be a dramatic reading because he's very detailed and we'll have some soft music behind it.
Do you have some soft music or anything that you can play for us?
Yes, hold on. Actually, here, this is for DJ Flip Mix.
Okay. Yes.
Wait for it.
I'm waiting.
Wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
Drum roll.
Oh, that wasn't what I wanted. I wanted record scratching, not a scratching record. Come on!
That would be me trying to be a DJ. Yes.
I'll work on that.
Hey, everybody on the dance floor. Hold on a second.
All right.
Stop dancing.
Here we go.
Yep.
Okay, wait.
Okay. Good morning from Tigerton. It is partly cloudy and 29 degrees. Highways 29 and 45 in western Shawnee County are wet with scattered slushy spots. The county and town roads are snow-covered and slippery. Tigerton has about an inch of snow, a very wet snow. Hard to move, even an inch. From Tigerton, I'm Rob.
you gotta end it like a Ken Burns. You gotta be like, Rob, 2024.
Oh, yeah, the Ken Burns effect. I like that.
That Rob. Works.
Rob's never going to call me. Oh, Rob just right in. He wanted to be a sportscaster. Well, sorry, I could have done that in a more of a Howard Cosell
tomorrow.
Voice, but yes. Tomorrow. Yeah, we'll do that. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, guys. You as well.
Dr. Lyerly is back with us. So we mentioned at the top when you weren't there quite yet, you had your camera still on, but I didn't put it on air for fear that we might hear somebody pushing and swearing in the background.
Nope.
And
coffee run.
But again, you get all of that. You get the people who are like Norman Rockwell paintings of birth. And then you get the ones who it's like, stop scratching me. I'm trying to help you.
I think we have this image in our minds that birth is this very natural and easy process. And that is absolutely not true. That is maybe 1% of the births that we attend. Otherwise, it's Pitocin and breaking water and epidurals and all of these interventions. But, you know, when we do these things, we have healthy moms and healthy babies and vaginal deliveries. And all of that is what I've been up doing all yes. night long. Yeah. And man, it's just so satisfying when we've got, you know, a mom who is happy with their delivery and has every day at my job is somebody's amazing life experience. So it's a pleasure.
That's great. And there was some move on this, and we've got a Stephen in Green Bay. Hang the line. We'll get to you in just a second here. But while you're talking about the miracle of birth and families and things like that, I want to note that Democratic legislators yesterday unveiled a new piece of legislation that would create a paid family and medical leave policy in Wisconsin, and it would just make things easier for new families. It would provide some consistency to small employers as well. Governor Evers has proposed this in the past. We talked to Joe Zepecki in the past hour about, you know, Democrats aren't in the majority. This isn't going to pass. But again, talk about the usefulness, Kristen, of letting people know this is a real issue for new families in Wisconsin and for all families.
Oh, for sure. You know, especially for people who are working in wages where they don't get paid as much and don't have that full slate of benefits, they go home from the hospital worried about their financial security because now they have to be home. They have to be taking care of their babies. They're not ready to go back to work, but they're not getting paid. And it is incredibly stressful for these young families trying to get off to a good start and knowing that they're in a very fragile situation. This is a game changer. We're the only country on earth, the only peer country that doesn't do this for our families and our new moms. So, I mean, this is something that's so easy that we could do. If we truly cared about moms and babies and families, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah. Stephen's calling in from Green Bay. Stephen, you got a little weather update for us out in that corner of the state?
Yeah, I do. So, first of all, I'm using the app for the first time to listen to you guys because I don't get your show in Green Bay. And the app is very nice to use.
Thank you.
With that being said, the main roads in Green Bay are pretty slushy, just kind of, you know, messy. But I did have to go out towards Swamico this morning. And I went to go stop at a stop sign, and let's just say my car did not stop at said stop sign. So it is
Oops,
very
be careful out there.
Yeah.
And so really, if you have to drive this morning, which most of us do because we have a job, just drive really slow because even though the roads look like they're clear, there is a thin layer of slush that gets under those tires and doesn't allow you to stop when you want to. So
that's right. Yep. Stephen, I got to tell you, appreciate the call very much for the update on that. To remind people that it's like, you know, you're driving in it for the first time. Everybody knows the first time you drive in the winter, it's like, oh yeah, I have to relearn all this again. And it's going to feel that way because it's been so long since we've had to do that. So Stephen, thank you for that. There's a series of new polls out talking about how many Americans are on board with the Taylor Swift conspiracy theories that are floating out there. And I'm not going to get much into this. So much has been said about it, and I've been working hard to ignore it. But this particular article in the Washington Post caught my eye because it shows the growing trend of people who do tell the pollsters that they are Republican voters, and how many are inclined to believe baseless conspiracy theories about the deep state. I mean, you've got 38% of Republicans who believe the FBI planted the classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. You've got a poll that shows 58% of Trump supporters said the Capitol riot was mostly an Antifa-inspired attack.
What was that percentage?
It was 58 in a poll shortly after the attack. Wow. Let's see. You had a poll in December showing 42% of Republicans believe, quote, many top Democrats are caught up in child sex trafficking rings because of the Pizzagate thing. Kristen, I have no answer to this. You talk to people on a daily basis. My wife does as well. She hears all kinds of theories about COVID and tries to very politely set things straight. I'm just saying we're doing our part over here, but every so often we get that reminder, we got more work to do.
We have so much more work to do. These numbers are shocking. Mm-hmm. Weren't you just, as you were reading through this, weren't you thinking, who are these people? I know these people. I must know these people because mm-hmm. they're in the world. And I talk to people who identify as Republicans. It is just unbelievable.
I don't mean to throw him under the bus now that he's not with us anymore, but there were getting to be so many calls where I'd be going, Dad.
I was
going to
say, yeah, you know these people. You're probably related to some of these people too. I know
We all are. And in all cases, what I said, thanks to my previous career, was, just to be a better news consumer, take mm-hmm. in a bunch of different things. If you're getting it all from just one point of view, you're not well served. And that's all we're saying. We're glad you tuned in here, even if you don't agree with some of what we have to say, or a lot for that matter. But do that. Get the balanced diet. It can only help everybody in the long run. We'll continue this conversation. And Kristen's Women Win Wisconsin segment is on the way with candidate Sarah Harrison from the Brookfield area. That's all along the way on this Thursday morning, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Ago today, Taylor Swift got the Grammy for Album of the Year for 1989. A new edition of the Vibes Only podcast is out. We had the hosts Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar on last week. I was listening to their new episode when it dropped last night, and they had special guest Dan Pfeiffer from Pod Save America, former senior Obama advisor, and talked about some of the vibes in the political campaign this week. They talked about the quote-unquote special counsel's report that was more of a partisan hit job, but talking about how to talk about the age of the candidates, Biden and Trump, but also more about their positions and their values and their records of accomplishment or lack of a record. And so for that, tune into Vibes Only from Courier Newsroom. Learn more at couriernewsroom.com or look where you get your podcast and look for the Vibes Only podcast. In terms of talking about those accomplishments out there, the record, rather than some of the other, things that are fun to talk about but don't mean as much to getting things done for America, the one that we talk about a lot is the bipartisan infrastructure law. And a whole new series of grants has been announced by the Biden administration, $970 million for improvements at 114 airports across the country. Again, coming from, the $5 billion set aside to modernize airports in the bipartisan infrastructure law. So I'm sure we will be hearing about that in Wisconsin and other places. But it just comes back to, Kristen, again, when we're talking to people about politics, and even if people want to talk about, you know, what the latest poll says, and on Vibes Only, they were talking about how these polls are all over the place. There's a reason that on Pod Save America, they always refer to it as a polar coaster. You know, you just, that's not where our focus should be. It should be on these things like getting things done at airports, highways, bridges, schools, healthcare, you name it. Those are the things that touch people's lives.
Mm-hmm. They touch your lives on a grand basis, and they touch your lives at home. And I think everybody should take a sip of their coffee every time we hear Pat Kreitlow say vibin or vibes. Are you with me on that?
Sure. look, Greg is now caffeine overloaded over here.
But, you know, to your point, Pat, and what we were talking about earlier, these conspiracy theories and this stuff that's out there that we hear on Newsmax and Fox News and all of these stations that really feed us propaganda, it's really important to look underneath the headlines and to check your facts. I love just flipping through when I'm sitting at the hotel up here in the Northwoods and I've got cable TV. I flip through the channels and I'll watch Fox and I'll watch MSNBC and I'll watch CNN just to see the different things that they're showing and how different they present their news and how different people receive their news, the critical thinking aspect, and then going out and having these conversations with an open mind, with others who might have different perspectives than you. It is really, it's fun, actually, learning how other people think about these things and feel about these things. We know just by the information that you shared earlier, Pat, there are so many people out there who have beliefs that I don't. But man, wouldn't it be cool to be able to unpack some of that stuff?
I unpack it in the way, the phrase I always use is getting the work done. And I might use a different word instead of work when I say getting stuff done. But on the radio, I'll say getting the work done. In the last round of airport upgrades that Senator Tammy Baldwin had announced, it was more than $38 million for getting this work done before we start to notice, you know, airports getting outdated or bridges crumbling. That's when people go, is somebody going to do something about these things? Mm-hmm. And somebody's doing something about it. You had the Chippewa Valley Regional Airport getting $1 million, the La Crosse Airport getting $1.3 million. But then the little ones, Neillsville, $144,000, same in Cumberland, Boyceville, Black River, Amory, all getting $144,000 to make those little improvements so that our airports continue to be functional. And that's, again, the stuff that touches people's lives, businesses, local economies. Those are the things that can make a big difference. Though I would say, in pivoting to another airport-related story, we might need a little bit more enforcement at some of these because two Dane County men are facing the possibility of life in prison after allegedly flying more than 45 pounds of fentanyl pills into the Middleton Municipal Airport near Madison. 45 pounds of fentanyl pills. Corvallis Stewart, age 36, Larry Williamson, age 35, of Wanakee, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, were each charged Tuesday with possessing more than 400 grams of fentanyl intended for distribution. Yeah, a little more than 400 grams. I can't do the math, but 45 pounds.
Gutsy.
Yeah, that's that is very gutsy. And it is just a reminder that this is still a problem. And it's not just a border thing. We hear Republicans talking all the time about the border crisis and the fentanyl coming over the border. Senator Baldwin actually has a proposal out that was part of this bipartisan border deal that would have specifically cracked down on, you know, fentanyl trafficking over the border. So I just don't want to hear anything more about the border or fentanyl if, you know, if certain elected officials aren't willing to do the basics, because otherwise, yeah, it doesn't just come across a border. It then comes in through Middleton, Wisconsin, and gets into our communities.
Pat, that's spicy. The border. Uh-huh. I mean, why? When you talk about airports, it's not like people are getting excited about, we're getting $150,000 for our airport in Neillsville. It's really hard to sell that in some sort of an exciting, like, newsflash kind of way, which is why we don't hear about it. But it is so important. It is so important that we know that these things are happening and that we know that these things that are shiny, like the border, really aren't exactly what they're being sold to us as. And, you know, when it comes to things like the border, and when we can see such intentional use of an issue like this for political reasons, when we have a bipartisan agreement to solve this problem, to work towards fixing these problems that everybody's talking about, and you see certain politicians saying, no, we don't want to solve this problem because that would take away this spicy issue for us that gets people all worked up. It's so important to understand how this is being used to manipulate us and to force us to, you know, choose choices against our better interests.
Yeah, could not agree more. It's about, again, about getting the work done and wanting the workhorses and not the show ponies. At 7:28, let's take a very quick look at sports. The Milwaukee Bucks are in Memphis tonight. You can catch the game on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, as well as Oshkosh Air Support. News from the center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Badger men's basketball team next plays at Iowa on Saturday. The fourth-ranked Marquette men's basketball team with their eight-game winning streak will play the nation's number one team, UConn, on the road on Saturday. And then one more note I wanted to say in the daily newsletter from Up North News this morning, covered a few different topics. They included, that ChatGPT tool that claims it can plan a trip anywhere in the world. And so they asked, Christina Laurie putting together the newsletter, asked ChatGPT to plan a trip in Wisconsin, specifically Chippewa Falls, and did a surprisingly good job. Which I just don't want Kristen thinking she doesn't have a tour guide in Chippewa Falls. Don't be using ChatGPT. You still got friends up here.
You could also
come
to
Kenosha. I know exactly where to go.
Come to Kenosha.
And Kenosha, yes.
Kenosha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've got friends. Escape to Wisconsin. We're all about the bumper sticker. Kristen's Women Win Wisconsin segment is coming up next. You're up north. Question for you on this Thursday morning as we head into our Women Win Wisconsin segment. Do you hear Kristen Lierley and you think, oh, she's always been a polished professional, you know, political kind of person? I would say nay. She too was once a rank amateur at this kind of thing and said, I'm gonna step up. And then somehow or another, we crafted an entire weekly segment around it called Women Win Wisconsin, mentioning some of the other women around the state that could just stick with their regular lives and say, I'm going to step up because of the way the world is. Have I aptly described the Women Win Wisconsin segment, Dr. Lierley?
I think you have. We all have that moment in our lives where we say, things are not going well. I think I can be part of the solution. Can I make this work in my life? And this morning, we are delighted to present to you Sarah Harrison, who did exactly that. She is running for what is currently Assembly District 13. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens with the new maps. But right. Sarah, right. I'm so excited to have you here. Tell us your story. How did you get involved with politics in the first place?
So I've been a door knocker and a volunteer since I was 19 years old. Like, I was part of the Iowa Citizens Action Network back in college, went to University of Iowa. And so being involved with politics on the backside, that's nothing new for me. However, a couple of years ago, we started seeing some things happening at our school board. My kids go to Waukesha schools, and they removed safe space signs, they removed rainbows, all these things. And my youngest was 13 years old and stood in front of a room full of folks in suits and very intimidating room and said, you are hurting me as a queer student, and what are you going to do about it? And shockingly, they did not a darn thing. And in fact, they've made it worse. So that was what first inspired me to run for office, which was the Waukesha School Board. Then that spring I was at an event with Sarah Rodriguez, and I said, all right, I know you're going to be our next lieutenant governor. Who am I volunteering for to run for your seat? And Kristen, they say on average you have to ask a woman 7 times to run for office. And pretty sure Sarah and I had at least 7 conversations before I said, okay, I'll do it. So that's how I got started on the candidate side. Seeing what people are trying to do to some of our more at-risk populations and wanting to step in and take a more direct role.
Mm-hmm. That is one of the reasons that we wanted to do this segment, because women are politically active. Women care. Women see their incredibly courageous 13-year-olds doing these things that I can't even imagine what it felt like for them to stand there and do what they did. And here you are as a mom, knowing that it's your time to step up, and you're being tapped on the shoulder numerous times with all of this background and all of this desire. And now here you are.
Yeah.
What are the things that you are really focusing on in your campaign?
Well, I'm really sad to say that my number one issue hasn't changed since 2022. I had hoped that by 2024, we would no longer need to be focused on returning women's reproductive health rights. But unfortunately, we still are. And so that's my number one cause is reproductive freedom here in the state of Wisconsin. We're under a law that predates the ability of women to even vote, let alone to make, you know, their own healthcare decisions. This is a decision that should happen between the patient, their healthcare professional, and any loved ones that they wish to consult. And that's the end of the list. It shouldn't involve the government. It shouldn't involve lawmakers in that very difficult decision.
But then going beyond, I'm sorry, go ahead, Kristen.
I was going to say, this is a great opportunity to remind all of our listeners that although the 1849 abortion ban is settled in Dane County, and we have restored access in Planned Parenthood clinics in 3 cities in Wisconsin, the vast majority of Wisconsin still does not have access to abortion care. And try going up to northern Wisconsin and getting contraception. I mean, women's health access, reproductive health access is not available in Wisconsin. We have a long way to go in this arena.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to take it to the next step, when you do have a family, and we talked about this earlier this hour about affordable childcare and affordable health care and family leave. These are all things that the young families in your district, would like to see their elected officials working on, and not, you know, book bans and getting rid of rainbows or things like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm sure you've seen this before, but a lot of those policies, they're not pro-life, they're pro-birth. Once the kid is born, well, you're on your own. Good luck. I hope you can find childcare. I hope you can find healthcare. I hope you can feed that kid. We're not going to give them school lunches. We're not going to do these things. All the things that are just kind of giving people the basic table stakes to have a productive and positive life, I'm not sure why they're controversial in any way, but since they are, I'll go out and fight for them.
Well, and then not just healthcare and education, but keeping them from being murdered. Gun violence prevention is a part of your campaign.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So I do volunteer with Moms Demand Action, and we were at the Capitol back in October, and spoke with Rob Hutton's office about a couple of bills that are in play. One is regarding safe storage, and one is regarding education for gun shop owners and gun firing range owners, in terms of just trying to get more information out there so that people understand what they can do to help solve the problems that we're having. And especially after all the things, that happened yesterday in Kansas City, more guns is not the answer. And I think we have seen that. We just have to put it in place.
I hear you saying it's not about banning guns. It's about responsible gun ownership. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And there are certain types of guns that we can have a conversation on whether, a civilian needs to have an automatic weapon or anything like that. But it's more about, if you have a gun, be informed, understand what the risks are and how it works, and store it safely somewhere that you know, a person who is a child or a person who is not well cannot access it. Put it in a locked safe and keep it away from mm-hmm. temptation for folks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the other things that you wanted to highlight is another spicy topic that we hear a lot from Republicans, although less and less so these days, the economy. What's mm-hmm. your take on the economy?
Yeah. So one of the big things that we can do to help our economy is to make sure that folks have that child care that we were talking about earlier so that they can go out and work and spend more money and get everything going in that way. So that's actually a big piece they play together. But also, we're sitting on this surplus in Wisconsin, and we should be investing it and putting it into our communities, putting it into, fixing more of the damn roads, whatever it is that can help our folks have a better daily quality of life. Spending money means that we're putting people to work. It means that if we're fixing roads, we're putting construction workers to work. They're making a paycheck. They're taking it to the store. They're buying things and, you know, hopefully buying local. That's always good. But yeah.
Well, we've mentioned that you're in the Brookfield area, you're in the Waukesha County area. Yes. We do mention that you're currently in what would be Assembly District 13.
Correct.
But we really don't know, as Kristen said, no. And we talked about it in our last hour with Joe Zepecki, that, I mean, this is very much in flux. Things could change on a dime in terms of whether Governor Evers will sign, the maps that he submitted that Republican legislators passed this week, or will he defer to the state Supreme Court? What's it like being a candidate who is not quite yet sure? I mean, you'll be in a district, but not sure quite where the lines will be. So I imagine you kind of have to be willing to meet pretty much anybody in your region right now because of where the lines might end up.
Right. And so I'm in a slice of Brookfield that's called Town of Brookfield. And each of the four maps that are in play pair me up with various different areas. And there's more than just who will my constituents be, which is of course very important, but also will I have an opponent that's an incumbent? Will I need to establish a name presence? I have a relatively strong name presence in Brookfield and somewhat in Waukesha, but one of the maps actually puts me with Pewaukee, where not as many people know me there. So I'm trying to make sure I'm getting out in the community and meeting people from all over. But it's hard enough when you do know those lines, and when you don't, it's an extra challenge. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens with these maps so we can really hit the ground running. We'll see what happens there.
It's really unsettling. I think you're not alone. I think everyone across the state is like, okay, we're ready. Give us the maps so that we can start to work, because we're so driven to get working and to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I am very data driven. I am very much a goals person, and I want to understand what my area looks like so that I can say, okay, I want to make sure that I visit these certain areas. I want to make sure that I make the phone calls to folks who are, making phone calls to everyone, but especially making phone calls to folks who are leaders within the community. So right now I'm kind of just spreading across lots of different areas. And in some ways it's fun because I've gotten to meet some new people, but it would be delightful to be a little more focused.
You're in an area that, well, first off, anybody in Wisconsin is valued because we're such a purple state. So, I mean, every voter, their vote has more value here than in 48, 49 other states. But then once you get inside the state, it's in these suburban areas, suburban Milwaukee, suburban Twin Cities, suburban Green Bay, where, I mean, that is truly the front line for the hearts and minds of voters who aren't, you know, rock-ribbed Republicans or rock-ribbed Democrats.
Yeah.
Why is that? What is it about voters in your neck of the suburbs, as it were, that makes them so competitive? What are they thinking? What are they considering? What are they either prioritizing, or what are they turned off by?
Sure, that's a great question. I think part of it goes back to the top issues that we talked about. So reproductive freedoms, childcare access and, you know, healthcare concerns, along with gun violence. That's another big one, especially amongst suburban moms. Gun violence prevention is a key. I also think that you've got a lot of folks who are starting to move into that type of a geographical area that are a little younger. And so we're seeing that the demographic within the suburbs is starting to get a little bit, well, I'm not sure technically if it's getting younger, but it's getting closer to people who are my age. So I guess I'm, that's a loaded statement, but you're getting closer.
We've all been there. We're all getting there day by day. No worries there.
So I think that's part of what you're seeing in that leaning a little more toward blue. And I will say that in my run in 2022, I met some really amazing folks who were out there with me on doors every weekend, and we beat the odds pretty handily. We didn't win, but it was also a district that was, you'll never convince me that my District 13 on the old map was not drawn to get Sarah Rodriguez out of office. That's absolutely my belief. It went from 50-50 to R plus 16. That doesn't happen by accident, right?
No, no. There's no accidents when it came to those maps that were struck down back in December. To learn more, Sarah Harrison's website is sarah4wi.com. Sarah with an H. You can find her on Facebook at Sarah Harrison for Wisconsin, and search for her on Instagram and for Twitter as well, because she's like every other modern day candidate doing that multimedia thing where you've got to show up pretty much every place, and you will not be bored from now till November. Sarah Harrison, thank you so much stepping up and for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we appreciate it very, very much. When we come back, we will be talking to Civic Media's own Luke Mathers about what you'll find. There's a new evening lineup. There's a new weekend lineup. So we'll find out what is happening as we come to you live on the Civic Media Radio Network from Lake Wissota. This is Up North News Radio. We'll be right back. Keep in mind that everything we do here at Civic Media, no matter what it is, we've always got a blank space baby for Luke Mathers. He can join any old time. He's a handsome man, right?
Handsome and capable. Craig? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. But I also brought you this wonderful cup of lemonade, which was the superior record in 2016.
Oh, here we go.
I wouldn't mention that
8 years ago today, Taylor Swift won Album of the Year. We're hearing about Beyonce's Lemonade from Mr. Bach that should have won instead.
It should have won. It's a superior record. I love 1989, but Lemonade is hailed as one of the best albums of that decade. So
let's put that right on, Mr. Mathers. Who are you going to tick off, the Beehive or the Swifties? Luke, pick an album.
I think there's great songs on both sides.
There we go. That's why he's management material.
I'm just kidding. Greg's right. Beyonce was robbed.
Ooh, okay.
Luke's rap name is Little Diplomacy.
What's new out there in Sunny P, Mr. Mathers?
It finally happened, Pat. I almost missed an appearance with you because we had snow on a Wednesday night into a Thursday morning, and I've just been clearing the driveway and the sidewalks for the last better part of an hour.
Oh, look at you. Just such a homeowner there. Getting rid of all the dangers and hazards. Good on you. And maybe, who knows, maybe it's the last time, or maybe it's the first of many from a winter that will never end.
Winter that will never end? What are you talking about? We're only at February 15th here. This is the most mild winter.
I'm saying that there have been springs where, you know, where winter just won't go away.
Yeah.
Where we get, you know, one more nuisance snowfall and then one more. So, you know, we'll see. But pitchers and catchers report today. So we got that going for us.
There we go. It's baseball. See, but everybody's going to start talking about that with spring training. I'm focused on
Your
Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, they're doing spectacular.
Yeah, they're so great lately.
Hey.
Yeah,
just no. See, you guys have criticism of the fact that they're like hitting a little bit of a rough patch, but they're still the top echelon of the Eastern Conference. And you know what? There's some bad voodoo around the number one seed. So I don't want it this year because last year it didn't do us any favors.
I don't want the number one
seed. I don't want it this year. So they're doing everything according to plan, okay?
Does that include paying three coaches in one season?
Okay. Look, if the timing of this is such that, yeah, if they're peaking at the right time in the postseason, then yes, this will all be forgotten. This will all be forgiven. But no matter what, you can hear those Bucks games on several stations on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bucks in six.
Yep. So can we
say Bucks tomorrow's on six?
Sure. What do you mean on? Okay.
Bucks on six stations.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go. Got it.
It's a chant that people started chanting a few years ago.
Oh, this is a while ago. I was just saying, it's more than a few years ago since Brandon Jennings. But yeah.
Are you trying to explain Bucks in six to somebody?
I think she's trying to explain it to you.
No, I think like, she thinks that you're a little old,
know,
Pat.
That's I didn't know how it went from Bucks in six to Bucks on six. That's what I was asking about.
On six to Civic Media radio stations.
Thank you for that clarification.
We're really vibing with the Bucks right now.
Such a vibe. Such a vibe that's going on. You know, Luke, there's a new vibe about the evening lineup. Busted Pencils going to five nights a week here on the old network.
Across the Civic Media Network, five nights out of the week. You can tune in at 6 p.m. for Dr. Tim Slecker and Johnny Lupinacci to hear educated educators talking education. So we're really excited.
I didn't write that.
No, they did. They say it every episode almost. Mm-hmm. So
yep. You know it's
you can almost see the pocket protectors right there.
Yep. Come on, that's a terrible stereotype of our teachers. They're not walking around with pocket protectors. They're educating America's future. And Johnny and Tim break it down in a way that's digestible. They take big subjects in education, what's going on in that arena and get a chance to take your comments on it, you can share your thoughts with them, but also are joined by excellent guests that can break down those subjects. Where when you hear about things like critical race theory, CRT, when it became a really big hot button issue in 2022, Tim and Johnny were talking about that going to be on the radar before a lot of other places were. And so whether it's book bans or whatever is the subject that's going on, if you've got a desire to get from an educator's perspective what's really happening, you want to tune into Busted Pencils weeknights, 6 p.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And for folks who haven't heard and go, well, wait a minute, where's Maggie Dawn? Well, Maggie Dawn has a new time, and that's going to be starting on the 19th, right?
26th.
26th, so, I'm sorry, the 26th. See, and on the 26th,
your lines are blurring because you know you got another vacation coming up, so you just don't know exactly.
Well, that's kind of
what
it. And so on my first day back will be her first day.
Yes.
At her new afternoon time slot, so she's going to be our guest on that day to tell us all about her new afternoon show. And by Busted Pencils going to 6 p.m. five nights a week, it means that Nightlight with Pete Schwabba moves from 7 to 9. A nice little piece of wood there on our radio.
Yeah, and so you can get all of your entertainment news still with the folks over at Nightlight. Pete Schwabba, Conrad on the board, doing excellent, excellent work covering all of what's going on in news for entertainment and culture here in Wisconsin to Hollywood and back. And now, their tagline used to be, you could be in bed by 10. Now, it's a treat. You can take that trip to Hollywood and back and be in bed by 9.
Well, that's definitely right up my alley. So,
dude,
I had a feeling that you'd be a fan of that, and Greg as well.
I go to bed at 7:30, 8 o'clock, okay? I have to listen to the podcast. Because you can listen to those shows as podcasts. Go to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. Go to the shows page, download the episodes, subscribe to them as a podcast. They'll be delivered to your phone or device, and rate them as well.
Yeah, and Maggie's new showtime from 2 to 4 is kind of the anchor of the new midday lineup that we have put together here at Civic Media. And I'm going to throw some love to Matt and Air on Air. We got a public service announcement coming up this morning, still 11.
11 o'clock,
you
can
listen to Jane Matt and Air and Greg Bach from 10 a.m. until noon. Then you got the Todd Alba Show from noon to 2, and then Maggie Dawn rounding out the middays 2 to 4.
Again, starting on the 26th, we got somebody on the text line saying, saying they're so excited for Maggie to get started. But then one more thing on the text line. Again, there's multiple shows going on at once, and sometimes people call in here or text here, and it's not necessarily what we were talking about. So one text I'm not quite sure about, it just says here, at testicle, is the steer alive or after they've been removed? So yes. One of our other shows is having an interesting discussion.
Doctor,
that we're going to
would
try
you
to
like
pick
to
up
just
on.
Field this one?
Testicles are not my specialty.
I believe John and Gordy are having a discussion about Rocky Mountain oysters this morning. So that
moving
might be
on.
Oh,
that
I have a story about those.
Out of the way for the 8 o'clock shows here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, Kristen. Thank you, Greg. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.